If you're just joining us for the very first time today, we've been in a four-week series on giving, and today is the very last day for that. Next Sunday, of course, Brittany just announced that a few minutes ago, we will be celebrating as a church the 75th anniversary from a breakfast from 9 a.m. to 10:30. Then at 10:30, we're going to come in here and celebrate all that God has done the past 75 years. But at the same time, we're going to look to the future and to what God has for us in the days to come as well. And then starting on October the 8th, 2 weeks from today, we're going to start a new series called The Seven. We're going to look at the seven churches in Revelation, and that's going to take us all the way through November. So I'm really, really excited about this study. The title of today's message is called We Give Freely. And this entire message series has led us to this point today. So far, we've talked about giving ourselves entirely to God from John chapter 13. We've talked about giving prayer for the glory of God. Last week in Luke chapter 21, we talked about giving sacrificially for the purposes of God. And today, we are talking about giving everything we have freely to God. You see, God has blessed us with this wonderful, with this amazing facility, and it is time for us as a church family to move forward in paying down the debt on this facility or paying off the debt entirely whatsoever. Last week, we talked about giving sacrificially to the purposes of God, and a big part of that talk was tithing, and we were all encouraged to, you know, at least start with the tithe and then to give beyond that, to give freely past that as God leads us to do so. But did you know that the New Testament does not talk much about tithing? Tithing is something that was mentioned quite frequently in the Old Testament. Tithing was an Old Testament requirement. So does this mean that the believer in Christ does not need to tithe? Not so fast. That's not what it means. You see, requirements in the Old Testament are always elevated by Christ in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, for example, the Old Testament says, do not commit adultery. But Jesus, whenever he shows up on the scene, he elevates that requirement and he says this, whoever has lusted after another person in their heart, they have committed adultery with that person in their heart. You see, Jesus always elevates in the New Testament the requirements in the Old Testament. The Old Testament says not to murder. Well, whenever Jesus Christ arrives on the scene, Jesus says this, whoever has called someone a fool has murdered that person in their heart. The Old Testament had a sacrificial system of sacrificing animals for the covering of sin. Well, whenever Jesus Christ arrives on the scene, he absolutely elevates this. And what does Jesus Christ do? He sacrifices himself once and for all for the covering of our sin. So as Jesus Christ elevates everything in the New Testament from the Old Testament, why would tithing, why would giving be anything less? Let me remind us this morning that it is not. The tithe should be the minimum, the starting point for the believer, and then from there we should seek to give freely beyond that. Last week I said this, and I want to reiterate what I said. I believe that this message, the message last week and also the message from today, that three types of people need to hear this message. The first person that needs to hear this message is the sacrificial giver. This person understands what it means to tithe. This person understands the blessings of giving, of giving a tithe, and then giving freely beyond that. And if that is you today, that's between you and God. And if that is you today, I want to affirm you. I want to affirm you in your giving. Continue to do what you are doing. Continue to follow God in this area. This person during this message will be, you know, shaking their head probably a little bit. They'll be saying amen in their heart a little bit. I believe that the next person that needs to hear this message is the sometimes giver. This person gives, you know, whenever they remember it or whenever they have a little bit left over. I want to encourage this person today to, you know, be challenged to take some steps forward in your giving. If your giving is here, maybe today be encouraged to move forward and to try to maybe get to the tithe in your giving. I believe the third person that needs to hear this message is the never giver. This person, you know, hasn't tried this out yet. You haven't tested God in this yet. And here's my encouragement to you today is this, is to try this. Try this. The Bible says, test this. God says, test me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven for you. And listen, if you just try it, if you test it, you will be overwhelmingly blessed because of it. I'll just be really honest with you. Talking about giving is a very difficult subject for me to talk about. It just is. And I'm really excited to get out of this series. I really am. But here's the deal. If we don't talk about giving, if we don't talk about this, then we will miss out on the blessings that God has for us as individuals, as families, and also as a church. So this is something that we have to talk about. You know why? Because the Bible talks about giving just as much as it talks about any other subject. So we have to address it. Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God? 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're only going to read verses 1 through 5 for time's sake this morning, but then we'll cover the rest of the chapter later on as a part of this talk. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 5. And David the king said to all the assembly, "Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, and bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting antimony, colored stones and all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own gold and silver, and because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house. Verse 5, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver. And then he asks this question, and I want us to ask this question this morning, and I want us to answer it to ourselves. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Would you pray with me? And God, we come before your throne. And Lord, we just ask and pray that you would be with us time. God, as we open up your word and we see what it talks about in the area of just giving, of stewardship, of giving of ourselves, of giving freely, of giving joyously. God, we just ask and pray that you would just bless this time. God, that you would just confirm in our hearts that this is your design, that this is your plan, and that this is a blessing that we get to take part in your wonderful and amazing work. So God, I just ask and pray that you would search throughout this room, Lord, that you would affirm those who sacrificially give, that you would bless them, God, that for those that sometimes give, for those that never give, Lord, that we just ask and pray that you would just speak to their hearts and that you would allow them to see that this is your design and that this is a blessing that we get to take part in this. So God, we just ask and pray that you would have your way with this time and that you would be blessed as a result of it. Lord, we love you. We love you. Speak to our hearts right now by the power of your Spirit. We love you, God. We love you, and we need you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you're taking notes this morning, and I hope and pray that you are, we give freely for the glory of God. Verse 1, David says, for the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. The word palace is another name for the temple that King Solomon would eventually go on to build for God. And the temple being described in this passage of Scripture, it had many purposes. This temple would go on to be used for a place of sacrifice, a place of prayer, a place of praise, a place of consecration and dedication. It was a place for remembering the word and the law of the Lord. It was a place for the people to gather as one union, a place for them to worship God Almighty. It was also a place where the glory and presence of God was revealed. But do you know the biggest difference between the temple of Solomon's day and our buildings of worship today? We can still use our buildings of worship today as a place of sacrifice, a place of prayer and praise, a place of consecration and dedication. We can still use our buildings as a place to study the word of God, to remember the law of the Lord, as a place to gather as a union, as one body, a place to fellowship with one another. But the biggest difference between the temple of Solomon's day and our buildings of worship today are this, is that the glory and presence of God are no longer confined to a temple. The glory and presence of God is revealed in you. The glory and presence of God is revealed in His people. Where the people of God go, so goes the glory of God. When the people of God gather, the glory of God is manifested. This is another sermon, but this is why it is so important for us to gather in worship with other believers. Why? Because whenever we gather, the glory of God is among us. You want to experience the glory of God? Continue to gather with other believers. Keep gathering as you are doing today. Paul says in Acts chapter 17, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by a man." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" So if the Spirit of God dwells in us in this place today, why pay for a building? Do we have to have a building to worship God? No, we do not have to have a building to worship God, but we use this place to gather to worship, to fellowship, to study, to dedicate, and to consecrate our lives for His service. This facility is for the glory of God. It's not for our desires. It's not for our preferences. It's a place for us to gather, to train, to evangelize, but most importantly, to empower us, all right, to leave this place and to go into all of the world and to share the love of Christ. It's for the glory of God. And this is the very first thing that we need to remember in any type of giving. Whether I am giving my tithes and my freewill offerings, whether I am giving beyond that to help reduce the debt on a facility, it is for the glory of God. It's not for you. It's not for me. It's not to give one authority or power in the life of the church. It is for the glory of God. And that's why King David says, "For this palace, this temple will not be for man, but for the Lord God." We give freely for the glory of God. Next, we give freely to an earthly building used for eternal purposes. Verse 2, King David says, "So I have provided for the house of my God." In verse 7, they go on to say, "They gave for the service of the house of God." They provided for His house. What did they give? They gave resources for the work of God to be done. Precious stones, bronze, iron, wood, gold, marble, silver. They gave money to pay for the craftsmen, the construction crew, all of this to build a temple, a place of worship of God Almighty. Did you know in 50 years, this building, this facility will probably be obsolete? In 50 years, the sound system that we have will probably be replaced by a new sound system. In 50 years, the projectors that we have will probably be replaced by new fancy projectors. In 50 years, you won't even need a pastor. It'll be a robot up here speaking to you guys. In 150 years, more than likely, this facility might not even be here anymore. This facility will not last. But let me remind us of something this morning. What is done in this earthly building for the name of Jesus, for the glory of God, this will last for all of eternity. This place is used for eternal purposes. The prayers that are prayed here will last for all of eternity. The ministry done here, it impacts generations to come. Worship and praise that's given here, it fills the banquet halls of heaven. The Sunday school classes that you teach, that you lead out in, that you are a part of, they build up and equip the saints for the work of ministry. The fellowship that happens here is a reflection of the fellowship that we will one day experience in heaven. The resources that you give and that are sacrificed here, they go to the very ends of the earth. The baptisms that take place here, it's you, it's us proclaiming to the world that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that we are identifying with His death, with His burial, and His resurrection. The Word of God that is taught and proclaimed here, it changes hearts and renews minds. Let me just remind us that even though this building is an earthly building that will one day be obsolete and will not even probably be here in 150 years, what is done within this facility, it serves eternal purposes. Therefore, we give to an earthly building that is used for eternal purposes. Next, we give freely as we are able to give. We give freely as we are able to give. And I believe that many of you in this room hone in on this point. Hone in on this next point. Verses 2 through 5. David says, so I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. And I'm not going to read verses 2 through 5 again, but he goes on to provide all types of things, silver and gold and bronze and iron and talents of gold and of refined silver and iron and all types of things to go towards the temple, to the building of the temple of God. Verses 7 and 8, it says, they gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents. 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Verse 8, and whoever had precious stones, they gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel, the Gershonite. If you go back and you add up all of this that King David gave and all of this that the people of Israel gave, if you go back and you add up all of this, you know how much money this is? It's a lot of money. It's over $2 billion. That is a lot of money going towards the temple of God. But listen, you and I, we might not be able to give $1 billion. You might not be able to give $1 million. You might not be able to give $5. But we can give what we are able to help reduce the debt or to pay off the debt of this wonderful facility. What matters is not the size or the offering of the offering or the gift. What matters is the heart of obedience and the sacrifice behind the gift. Remember the story of the poor widow that we talked about last week from Luke chapter 21. Here was this widow in the temple, and she gave, it says, 2 small copper coins. Both of these coins were worth about an eighth of a cent a piece. And the Bible says that Jesus saw her gift. And it says that he saw it and he said this to his disciples, that she had given so much more than what the rich had given as they were putting their offerings into the temple as well. It says that she gave out of all that she had and she sacrificed. She sacrificed. She gave all that she had. And then it says that the rich, that they gave out of their abundance. It means this, that which was left over. She gave so much more. You see, Jesus sees the sacrifice in the heart of obedience behind the gift, not the gift itself. So if all you can afford above your tithe and above your offerings is $5 a month, then listen, it is so much more than the person who is giving $1,000 but can afford $10,000. Does that make sense? Jesus sees the heart. He sees the sacrifice of the gift, not the gift itself. Chuck Smith says, so an interesting thing in God's economy is not the amount that you give, but what it costs you to give. So many who are giving less in God's economy are giving more. The amount is immaterial. What's the sacrifice? What's it costing you to give? We give freely as we are able to give. Next, we give freely, rejoicing joyously from the heart. Verse 9 says this, then the people rejoiced. Think about this. Here they are, King David, the people of Israel. They had just given all of this for God, for the temple, for the Lord, for the house of God, for his purposes. Verse 9, it says, then they rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly. Verse 17, he says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. You see, King David and the children of Israel, they gave joyfully. They rejoiced that they were able to participate in giving to the temple of God. Listen, church, giving to the purposes of God, this is not punishment. This is not punishment. It is a blessing. It is God's way of allowing us to participate in his divine work. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 9:7 says. It says this, for God loves a griping giver. I messed that part up, didn't I? It says, God loves an entitled giver. Keep messing it up. God loves a pouty giver. No, it's not what it says. God loves a reluctant giver. It says this, God loves a what? Cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful is the Greek word hilaros. It's where we get our English word hilarious. Giving to God it's fun. Giving to God is a joy. Giving to God is a party. It is something that we should celebrate. As King David and the children of Israel, they gave joyfully, cheerfully, rejoicing. They gave hilariously to the things of God. May we follow suit. Listen, if you can't give joyfully, if you can't give rejoicing hilariously, then listen, you shouldn't give it all. You shouldn't give it all. Chuck Smith says, so how are we to give to God? Just in this way. We are to give with a willing heart, with a complete heart, and we are to give with rejoicing. Give what you can. Give with a free, rejoicing heart. Now, God doesn't want you to give to him out of pressure. God wants you to give to him because God doesn't want you to give to him because you're being forced or constrained to do it, because God never wants you to gripe over what you give to him. What an insult to God for a person to turn around and gripe over what they gave, complain over what they gave. That would be horrible. God never wants that to happen. Therefore, he always wants your gift to come from your heart, that which you purposed in your own heart to give to God willingly. That which you can give cheerfully, give. That which you can't give cheerfully, don't give. If you can't do it with a cheerful, willing heart, then don't do it at all. It's of no value. God isn't interested in it. So whenever we give to the purposes of God, whenever we give of our tithes and our offerings, whenever we give beyond that to help pay off this facility, may we do it rejoicing from the heart. Next, we give freely because everything we have is God's and comes from God. Verses 11 through 14, King David says, Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O God, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Verse 14, he says, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to even offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Skip verse 15, go to 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house, for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. You see, King David and the children of Israel recognized that everything that they had and that they were giving back to God for his temple, they were giving that which was God's in the first place. It was his from the very beginning, and they were simply giving back to God what God had already given them. You see, everything that you or I have is God's, and it comes from God. He simply allows us to steward what is already his. Psalm 50, God says, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. You see, everything is God's. The earth is God's. Everything that you or I have been given in the area of finances, resources, in our homes, in our lives, influence, our jobs, our health, has all been given by God Almighty. I love this song by Matt Redman. It's called Breathing the Breath. And the lyrics go like this. We have nothing to give that didn't first come from your hands. We have nothing to offer you which you did not provide. Every good, perfect gift comes from your kind and gracious heart. And all we do is give back to you what has always been yours. Lord, we're breathing the breath that you gave us to breathe, to worship you. And we're singing these songs with the very same breath to worship you. Who has given to you that it should be paid back to him? Who has given to you as if you needed anything? For from you and to you and through you come all things, O Lord. And all we do is give back to you what has always been yours. We are breathing the breath that you gave us to breathe. Everything that we have is God's. Everything that you can give back to God is already God's in the first place. Matthew Henry writes, all that are rich and honorable among the children of men have their riches and honors from God. This acknowledgement he would have the princes take notice of and join in, that they might not think that they had merited anything of God by their generosity. For from God they had their riches and honor, and what they had returned to him was but a small part of what they had received from him. Whoever are great among men, it is God's hand that makes them so. And whatever strength we have, it is God that gives it to us. You see, church family, we give freely because everything we have is God's and comes from God in the first place. Next, we give freely because everything we have, we give freely because our days on earth are like a shadow. Go back up to verse 15. David says this, for we are strangers before you and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no abiding. You see, King David, he recognized that life on earth was short and that the purposes of God were all that mattered. If you go on to read the rest of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, King David would go on to pass away just a few short days later. And if we want to outlive our lives on the earth, then we must choose to invest them into the things of God. I've read this poem a few times by C.T. Studd. says this: only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Could you read that out loud with me? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the life of my Grandpa Jernigan. And if you knew my Grandpa Jernigan, you would understand that my grandpa was a hoarder. He liked things. He liked to collect things. He liked to keep things. I would go out and help him clean out his garage, and I wouldn't do any throwing away. He would just say, move it from there to there. That's all I would do for him, because he came from an era of the Great Depression where you threw nothing away, where you kept everything. He had four or five motorcycles that didn't run, but just in case, you know what I mean? He kept everything. But you know what? At his funeral, we didn't talk about any of the stuff that he kept. We didn't talk about his office that was just full of collectibles, of items, of all of the old things that he had, of all of his motorcycles. We didn't talk about any of that stuff. You know what we talked about? His life. How much he loved God. That was the overwhelming theme. That was the overwhelming theme about how much he loved God and how he served the purposes of God. Why do we give freely? Because our days on earth are like a shadow. And lastly, and I think this is probably the most important point, why should we give freely? We give freely with an attitude of worship. Last Sunday night, we were talking about this very idea, and one of our dear saints, I'm not going to say her name, Beth Humphrey, she brought this point up, and it was such just a powerful moment. She says, Caleb, you know, giving, what it really is, it's worship. It is an act of worship to God Almighty. And if you go back, I'm not going to do it right now, but if you go back and you read 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and you go back and you look at what's going on, really from verses 9 all the way through the end of, you know, 22 right in there, if you go back and you see what's going on, it's a worship service. That's what's going on. They had just given billions of dollars to the things of God, to the purposes of God. And then all of a sudden, verses 9 all the way through 22, a worship service breaks out. Verse 10, it says, therefore David blessed the Lord after he had given billions in the presence of the assembly and said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. He's worshiping God that he was able to participate in the purposes of God. He says, for all that is yours in the heavens and on the earth is yours. You're exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. Verse 13, he says, we thank you, our God. We praise your glorious name. Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer willingly? Verse 20, he said, bless the Lord your God to the assembly. And all of the assembly and their fathers, they bowed their heads and they paid homage to the Lord. They go on and they offer sacrifices. And verse 20 says, they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. You see, it was a worship service. It was an act of worship that we are able to participate in the purposes of God, the eternal purposes of God. You see, worship and giving, they go hand in hand. Giving is an act of worship as much as it is anything else. Joseph Parker writes, after all this, talking about the giving, came gladness, came prayer and praise, came almost heaven itself. David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. We bless God in giving him what we have, and having given him all that was in our hands, our hearts seem to be liberated and enlarged, that they may offer still louder and purer praise. David and the people were conscious that they had done nothing of themselves. There is no taint of vanity in all this sacrifice of thanksgiving. In the midst of it, we hear these explanatory words. All things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You see, giving is an act of worship. In closing this day, this series has led us to this point today. It's my desire that every single one of us in this church will make a commitment to move forward in reducing the debt or paying the debt on this wonderful facility. Even if it's a dollar, if that's all that you can give, then you know what? You give that dollar. And you say, God, I give this dollar to you, and I ask and pray that you would use it for the glory and for the honor and the praise of your name. You know what God will do? He will take that dollar, and he will break it, and he will multiply it, and he will use it for his purposes in ways that you can never dream or imagine. What matters is this. It's the heart of obedience. If God tells you to do that, then may you commit to doing that. And I believe that if we as a church say, you know what, we're going to do this, we're going to move forward in doing this, and that we all participate in this, that we will see the blessings of God overflow us in ways that we can never dream or imagine. And you might say to me this morning, well, why, Caleb? Why do you want to move forward in paying off this building or reducing the debt on this building? Here's why, and I want to answer that for us this morning, okay? Here's why. Because I believe that God has more for us to do. I believe that God has called us to do more. I believe that we could take possibly those funds that we are paying on this, those funds, and that we can use those funds for something else, to do more ministry, to reach more people, to even plant churches, to remodel some things, to take more national and international mission trips, to give more to others, to more entities that might need it, to grow the kingdom of God, to advance the gospel, to make much of the name of Jesus outside of the walls of this church. I'm going to explain this one more time, and we will be done talking about what we're talking about today. In your bulletin this morning, there were some cards that looked like this, and we've been promoting this for 6 weeks. It has boxes that you can fill out, that you can participate in helping us reduce the debt on this facility. You can fill this out, okay, as you feel led to do so. And then whenever we leave, in just a little bit, there is a basket outside with a table. You fill that out as God has led you to do so today. Why do we do this? Why do we give? Why do we give of ourselves? And I'm not talking about money right now. Why do we give of ourselves? As we looked at the example from John chapter 13, where Jesus took the feet of his disciples and he washed the feet of his disciples. And he said to his disciples, you do this as well. You go and serve. You go and do the role of a servant and you serve other people. Why do we do this? Why do we offer sacrificial prayers to God that we talked about a few weeks ago from Matthew chapter 6? Why do we do this? Why do we give sacrificially as we talked about last week from Luke chapter 21 and today freely from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Why do we as followers of Christ do this when the world would tell us to do the opposite? When the world would tell us, you go and do your own thing. When the world would say, go and make life about you. You only have one life to live, therefore make it your life and not the life of anybody else. Why would we on earth do something that is so counterculture? Why do we do this? Why do we give of ourselves? Because God gives. Amen? Because that's the heart of the God that we follow. He says, do this as an example. I've given you this as an example. Do this, he says. Why do we do this? Because God does this. Because this is the heart of our Savior. This is the heart of our God. For God so loved the world that he kept his only son. What's it say? That he what? He gave his only son. Our God is a giver. And when we as a people of God, whenever we give of ourselves, of our time, of our energy, of our lives, of our resources, for his name, for his purposes, for his kingdom, you know what happens? Is we receive so much more. It is so much more blessed to give and to receive. And we are blessed so much more whenever we give of ourselves for his glory. We said this lastly, that Christ gives. What does Christ give? He gives himself. He gives his life. He gives his life to you. He gives his life to you to cover your sin, The Bible says this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This means that I've sinned, my wife sinned, Bill has sinned, Ron sinned. Rod has surely sinned, let me just tell you. We've all messed up. We've all sinned. And Jesus Christ, he came and he sacrificed himself. And the Bible says that whenever we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, whenever we confess that he is Lord, that he is the Lord of our life, and we receive the gift that he gives, his blood covers all of our sin. And therefore, we can approach the throne of God one day whenever we die, that we'll go to be in heaven with God because Jesus Christ, his blood covers our sin. It's a gift. It's a gift that he gives. Have you received that gift? Have you received that gift? All you have to do is receive it. Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can say, God, I receive the gift. I receive the gift that you give me of eternal life, and your life will be changed forever and ever and ever. And you can take that gift that he gives you today freely, and you can leave this place, and you can live in victory. The sins that are dragging you down, you have victory over those today. You can go and live for the purposes of God. Your sins that were in the past that you had done, they're gone forever and ever. You can live a life now that is clean, not worrying about your past, whenever you receive that gift. Would you receive that gift today? Would you pray with me this morning? How is God speaking to you? Are you giving of yourself? Where are you in the area of just giving? And I won't say anything else about that. But you answer that between you and God. Maybe today you want to receive the gift of salvation. You receive that gift right now. Just call on the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to receive the gift that you give. I want to receive the gift of salvation. And you call on him to save you from your sin. And then right there from your seat, you commit your life to him the best that you know how. Thank Jesus for the gift that he gives you. Thank him for that gift. Maybe you're here this morning and you need prayer for something. Maybe you need prayer for something going on in your family. Maybe there's a lost person in your life that you just are burdened for today and you want to come and kneel at the altar and pray. Maybe there's something going on in your home life or your marriage or your health or something else. This house, it's also a house of prayer. You receive prayer today. Please do not leave this place without receiving prayer. If there is a burden on your heart, would you just come forward and let one of these pray over you? We won't judge you. We won't wonder why you're receiving prayer. We just want to participate in the work of God Almighty with you and by faith affirm that we are giving this to God and that we are trusting God in this. You come forward and receive prayer in a moment. How's God speaking to you today? This time, in just a few moments, is what we call in the life of the church a time of response, a time of invitation. How is God speaking to you? Maybe you want to get baptized in this wonderful facility that is used for eternal purposes. Come forward and tell me. We'll celebrate with that with you today. Maybe you want to join our church and lock arms with us in the work of God in this earthly building that is being used for eternal purposes. You come forward and tell me, and we'll move forward in that. How is God speaking to you today? You be obedient to him. God, we love you. Who are we that we would be able to offer willingly? All things come from you. They're all your own in the first place. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. O Lord, you are good. All things come from you. And of your own have we given you, God. Our breath that we have to breathe is yours. Our health that we have is yours. The words that we have to say, oh God, is yours. The legs that we have, the arms that we have to be used for your purposes, oh God, are yours. The resources that we have to give back to you, oh God, are yours. God, our lives are yours. Our prayers are yours. Our songs are yours. Our vehicles are yours. Our thoughts are yours, oh God. Oh God, thank you so much for giving us life. Thank you, God, for allowing us to participate in the work of God Almighty with the days that we have on this earth, days that are like a shadow. Oh God, it's all yours. So help us, Father, to be a people who would make much of your name. with the time that we are allotted on this earth. God, I pray and I ask that if there's anybody here today that needs to take a step forward and taking a stand for you, God, that if they need prayer, that they would receive boldness today from you. God, would you move during this time for your glory? Everything is yours, God. We love you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand? Would you sing? Would you proclaim who our God is? Would you be obedient to him? Would you respond as God is telling you to do so?